All right, should we do the creed?
Yeah.
Recite it? Creed. I haven't been reciting it every week for the past few weeks with you guys. I might not know it as well as you guys, but
somebody brought this
voice here.
So whenever you
want
to break, you want to break in the middle or at the end of the class. Oh, you made it.
Great.
You make it look the best there. Come on in, bud.
Let's, should we stand as we say it?
Yeah! Can we stand in our chairs?
Say it with gusto.
If you want.
Yay!
Stand on your chairs.
Say it with gusto here.
All right, everybody stand up and say the creed.
I'm even taller than Jutai.
I'm going to see if I can say it without...
What's gusto?
I'm not sure if I can.
Yeah, what is gusto?
Gusto is like oomph.
Oh.
Oomph. All right. Oomph. Ready? Oomph. Where are you putting it up?
No, I just saw the computer shut off.
Okay. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins,
I threw it off there. That was a test to see if you guys would follow me
and
or say it right.
We missed one small part,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I know.
Did you,
I noticed.
What did we notice?
Or I don't remember which one you missed.
Does anybody
missed?
Know what little piece we missed?
Oh, right.
We noticed it after.
I noticed it.
Born of the Virgin Mary.
He descended to the dead.
Yeah.
Yes.
He descended to the dead.
We'll get it next time. We'll try it again at the end of class.
Did you mean to do that?
Nope, that was an accident. I forgot. Okay, so the next part we do is the house picture, right? Complete picture. So today we're talking about the church. So you can draw walls.
Ooh.
Walls. Do a quick review there.
Oh, okay, yeah. So the paper that you drew represents the landowner, which gives a permit or gives permission to build the kingdom. And then the soil is like the early church. It represents the people of the early church where God planted his teachings. And then the foundation is like the creed or I believe. It represents the faith that we can build on. And God is like the creator, the architect. The architect represents God who designs the whole project. And the fireplace represents God Almighty, who we treat with special respect. And the roof is like God the Father, because he represents that he covers and protects us. The doorway is like Jesus the Son, represents the way into God and knowing him. The contractor is like the Holy Spirit. He represents that the Holy Spirit does all the work.
Oh, we didn't do that picture.
Yeah, we didn't do the Holy Spirit.
Did you do it last week?
Yeah, we did. We did it last week.
No, look, the pic here.
Yeah, but we didn't see the picture last week.
Yeah.
Can you leave it up for a little while so we can
draw? Yeah, you guys draw the... This is one's a contractor, right?
I just draw stick people.
Yeah. So draw the contractor doing work, shoveling something, maybe just digging a hole or shoveling concrete like this guy.
There. I drew him.
Very nice. Does anyone remember anything else you learned about the Holy Spirit last week? Someone tell me one thing. Last week was Easter.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago. Does anyone remember anything from 2 weeks ago?
Not at all.
Anything you learned about the Holy Spirit?
He's a clone trooper?
No, he's a contractor, not a
I was like, that's a stormtrooper? Ooh, cool.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
If he was a stormtrooper, that
So today we're talking about the church, which is like the walls. The walls represent the church because the walls contain all the people, and the church contain all the people.
Now I need to draw
it. Now.
I just get to color it.
Did you guys get, if you flip, because you probably got these notes on the church today, right?
Yep.
So if you flip like two pages over, do you guys have this page?
Yeah.
Yes. See timeline? So everyone turn to that page.
I just flipped to the right page.
Because I'm going to talk through it for a second. I'm going to tell you guys a story. And it is the story of literally everything that has ever happened. In 5 minutes, or
oh wow, showtime!
Yes,
I only flipped one page and I got this.
That's okay. So there's blanks, right? Yeah, you guys have blanks. Okay, let me pull this up. Okay, so we're gonna start. The first line at 4000 BC is Adam and Eve. Good night. Yes, mm-hmm. CC means before Christ.
Yes. No, AD means
Anno Domini. That is more true. So, first line is you can write creation or Adam and Eve on the first line.
How do you spell creation?
Good question.
What?
Write creation or Adam and Eve. So, Adam and Eve, as you know, they sinned in the Garden of Eden, right?
Yeah.
And when they sinned, the relationship that they had with God was broken. So it says that they walked and talked with God in the garden. And so that's like a relationship, right? Any friends you have are people that you walk with, you talk with, you hang out with, you live with. So that's what Adam and Eve had with God. They were in a close relationship with God. And then when they sinned, they lost the close relationship they had with God. And the relationship that they had with each other was broken. So, when Adam and Eve sinned at the very beginning there, the relationship with God and with other human beings was broken. Then, at the next line, at 3500 BC, we have Enoch. That is spelled like this.
Enoch?
Yeah,
who is Enoch?
So, Enoch is a guy that the Bible says that he walked with God so closely that when it was time for him to die, he didn't really even die. God just took him away.
Oh,
have you heard that? Yeah.
No.
So Enoch walked.
His son was the oldest guy.
That's right, yeah. So Enoch was so close with God, he was the closest person with God after Adam and Eve sinned. He started working on a relationship with God again. And then we have, this one I don't think is on your paper.
Yeah.
But if you want to write beside 3000 where there's no, well actually wait.
There's no line.
Hold the phone. We'll skip to Noah. Noah and the flood. You guys know that story,
Where's
right?
that?
That's at 2500, 2500 BC, Noah and the flood.
The flood? That's
yeah.
What you write?
Noah and the flood. You guys can keep writing Noah and the flood while I tell you about what happens next. Just after Noah and the flood, the humans started filling the earth again, and you would think people would start wanting to build a relationship with God again, but they didn't. They wanted relationships, but they wanted to make their own relationship. So they started building their own community. And in their own community, they started building a tower.
Of Babel.
Tower of Babel. And so it was because humans still desired to have relationships, and they had a desire to have a relationship with God and to be close with God and to be close with each other, but they were doing it in their own self-centered, selfish ways.
So that's where the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel is kind of like humans started making their own church, but it was like a church that was up to no good. Okay, so then the next line at 2000 BC is Abraham.
Babel is just
B-A-B-L. Yeah, you don't have to write Babel down if you don't want.
B-A-B-L.
Abraham and Israel.
So you write Israel?
Yeah, write Abraham and Israel. And you can draw a little caterpillar if you want. At 2000. Babel isn't actually on there. It would be like between Noah and the flood and Abraham. So you've probably heard this story too, but in short, God made a covenant with Abraham. Have you heard about that before?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a covenant is just like a promise. And so God's promise to Abraham was this. He said, Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. And he said, I'll make you into a people, like a group of people. And then he said, I'll make you into a family. So he kind of, basically a big group of people, you can think of it as a nation, a country, or you can think of it as a family, but I'm going to promise you, and this is the promise, that you will be a people. And I'm going to explain this later, but you can think of Israel, this is when Israel started, with God's promise to Abraham. You can think of Israel like a caterpillar. So if you want to start drawing a caterpillar beside Abraham and Israel, that will work. I'll explain. It'll make more sense later. Just trust me. And God said to Abraham, he said, does anyone know why God promised to Abraham that he would be a people or a family? You know what the purpose of that was?
For Abraham to trust him?
Yeah, that was part of it. And then when Abraham would trust him and God would make them a family, what was the family's purpose? Was it just so that they would be special and they would be the only special people on earth? Or was it so that they would be a blessing to other families and nations on the earth? What do you think it was? Any idea? Do you think God would want Abraham's family and Israel to just be special only themselves and hold all of God's blessings, keep them to themselves? Or do you think God would want them to share God's blessings?
Share.
Yeah. So when God created Abraham and Israel, he made them a family to share his blessings with other families on the earth. So that was the reason why he made them. So then the next line, 1500 BC, you can write Moses and the Word, or you could write Law, or Ten Commandments. So this is another story you probably know about. You guys know how to spell Moses?
Yep.
So God gave, does anyone know what God gave to Moses? When he was up on the mountain? Yeah, he gave him the Ten Commandments. And then he gave him even a bigger law, like a whole bunch of commandments. But the Ten Commandments are basically part of it. So God gave Moses 10 commandments, and all of those commandments are about, guess what? How to have relationship with God and how to have relationship with each other. So when it says honor your father and mother, that's about how to have relationship with your mom and dad. When it says don't be jealous of your neighbor, that's about how to have relationship with your neighbor. When it says don't kill anybody, that's about how to have relationship with people. You can't kill your friends. Okay? And it also says things about how to have relationship with God. You can't have other idols. You can only worship one God, right? So again, Moses in the Ten Commandments is all about getting that relationship back that Adam and Eve lost in the garden.
How do you spell commandments?
I'll read it down.
C-O-M-M-A-N-T-D.
E-M-T.
E-M-T.
Then we have at 1000 BC, we have King David.
Ooh, King David.
I'm going to erase these things here. I'll leave Israel up there. I'm going to write some words down that I'm going to keep referring to as we go on. King David was the greatest king Israel ever had because he wanted Israel to be united. I'm just going to write unity. Does anyone know what unity means? Can you give me an example of unity? Josh?
All together.
All together? Ben, do you have another one?
It would be kind of like all the parts of the caterpillar.
Hey, that's a good one. Yeah. It's like all the little parts of the caterpillar
unite to make one.
Yeah, they unite to make one Israel. So David wanted Israel to be all together, because a caterpillar that's broken up into a lot of different parts is useless. We call it a dead caterpillar. So David was the greatest king because he wanted Israel, he wanted unity, he wanted them to be united. He was also the greatest king because worship was important to him. He was also the greatest king because mission was important to him. Did you know, have you ever heard about David's mighty men? David had this group of like 30 soldiers that were like, they're basically all like Assassin's Creed super ninja soldiers. And you would think that because David was Israel's greatest king, that all of his special unit soldiers would all be from Israel. But most of them were from other countries. But David let them in because mission was important to David. He wanted other people to be a part of God's family too. So he let in other people to worship God with them. Another thing is that was important to David was God's word. Does anyone know what all the songs that David wrote are called? Or where to find them in the Bible?
The Book of Psalms.
Yeah, Psalms. A lot of those songs are songs about how much David loves God's word. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Another thing that David was great at is that he was obedient to the traditions that the Ten Commandments held. And he was obedient. He wanted to be obedient to God's traditions in the right way. Obviously, David wasn't perfect, but he wanted to do his best to be obedient to God's traditions. So then, where are we on the little thing?
Okay. 500 BC.
So there's no line there. So here's what happens. I'll just tell you about it. You don't have to write anything down. Around 500 BC, everything from Israel just falls to pieces. And this is why. Because they were really having trouble being united. They were like two different kingdoms at that point. It was like a civil war. But not the Avengers
coming. Oh, I want to see that.
They also failed because they were struggling to worship God. They were worshiping other idols. They were also failing to do mission. They weren't inviting other countries to be a part of them. They weren't inviting other people. They weren't letting other people to come and worship God with them. They were trying to keep everyone out. They didn't want anyone around them. And they weren't following God's word. They weren't listening to God's word. They weren't listening to the Bible. They weren't listening to the prophets. And they weren't following the law or the traditions. And so Israel stopped doing all of these things. And so they just fell apart. So the question is, who then will be God's people? And who will be God's humble servants? Who will want to be united together? Who will want to seek God's presence in worship? Who will want to bless the world in mission? Who's going to listen to God's word? And who's going to follow God's traditions? Does anyone know of any person who did all of those things perfectly? Yeah. Josh?
Jesus.
So Jesus came and he did all of these things perfectly, even better than King David. And that begins a new section of history. So at zero, you can write Jesus.
Jesus.
Now we'll leave the we'll keep flipping back to this timeline, so keep bookmark it or something, but go to the first page of notes for the church. Okay, so you can see through everything that we just covered that God has always sought a relationship. That's your first blank. God has always sought a relationship with people and with his people. He's always had his special people. And so for a long time, his special people were Israel. Ever since Abraham. And then when Jesus came and he did all of these things perfectly that Israel was supposed to do, Jesus said that on Peter was one of his disciples, he would build his church. And so the church became the new name for the people of God. So when God started a people with Abraham, and they were called Israel for a long time, and then Israel failed, and Jesus came and did everything that Israel was supposed to do perfectly, Jesus was kind of like the cocoon that the caterpillar got into. He wrapped up the caterpillar, and then from out of Jesus came a beautiful butterfly called the church. So it's still the same people of God, but they just look a lot different. Right? Does that make sense? Just like a butterfly is actually a caterpillar, but it looks a lot better. Some caterpillars are pretty nice, but some of them are really nice. So the church after Jesus, he died, he rose again, and then what happened?
And then he went into heaven.
And then he ascended into heaven. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the church suffered terrible persecution in the first 300 years. And many of them were just killed for just being Christians. I think you guys talked about that in the first class. Does anybody remember your first class so long ago? But despite the persecution, Christianity spread rapidly. It was like almost like a virus. Except a good virus. And it soon became the main religion of the whole Roman Empire. So if you flip back to your notes, or the history timeline, I mean. One second. There's one coming up. Christianity took over the whole Roman Empire, and they were known as the Roman Catholic Church. That was just because Rome was like the headquarters. And Catholic, does anyone know what the word Catholic really means? Yeah, that's very, very close. It's like a whole thing. So the Catholic, it's like the entirety of it all. So when it says the Roman Catholic Church, it just means the whole church that is based out of Rome. That's basically what that means. But then because so many people were claiming that they were also Christians, the bishops of the church had to come together and say, okay, well, what does it actually mean to be a Christian, and what does it... Can you be a Christian and say that Jesus isn't God?
Yeah.
Yeah. But there are some people who are saying that. They're like, oh, we believe in Jesus, but we just believe he was a nice guy that we could listen to his words. But they didn't believe he was a God. So the bishops had to come together and say, let's make up kind of some rules of what does it really mean to be a Christian and what does it not mean? And when they wrote out all these rules, they called it the Nicene Creed. So, on the line below Jesus on your history timeline, I'll write it out. I don't think it's in these notes. No.
It's a little further down.
Here it is.
I don't know. Which one did we write it on?
Write it on the line right below where it says Jesus. So there's 0 AD, and that's Jesus, and then the line right below it, we can write Nicene Creed. And it's basically the same thing as the Apostles' Creed that we're memorizing. It's just a little bit longer because they just added a few extra pieces to make sure. And then under the line that says Nicene Creed, you can write Roman Empire is mostly Christian. So that's about 500 AD.
Can you write that down?
No, yeah. It's on there. Roman Empire is right on the...
Oh, yeah, it's right here.
See where? This? Oh.
That's how it's spelled, Roman Empire.
Roman Empire is mostly what?
Christian.
So, like, almost at 500 AD?
Yeah, just on this one here.
It's okay, there won't be any spelling test.
Good.
Spell as close as you think.
So, for a long time, there was only one church for about 1,000 years. About 1,000 years, there was just one solid church. The year 1000, the church kind of split into two, kind of like two branches of the church.
Kind of a library.
One was called the Orthodox Church. Orthodox Church. And they were in the kind of in the east of the world, in like Asia and Russia and parts. And then the Roman Catholic Church, they kept their name, and they were more in the west, in like Europe and England and Spain and
North
Africa,
America.
And then eventually in North America. And it was just because that their traditions began to change, and they were a little bit different, because they were so spread out, and in the year 1000, they didn't have telephones or the internet to be able to see what each other was doing all the time. So then when they would try and come together, they would go, oh, you guys are doing that really different than we are. They still believed like 99.9% of the same things, but they just looked really different, right? So they kind of split. And so for the first time, there was two churches. Everyone's got those blanks filled in?
Mm-hmm.
Then about another 500 years later, there was another split. This Roman Catholic, Roman. About 500 years later, there's another little split where a guy named Martin Luther, he was a Catholic, a Roman Catholic, and he decided that there's a few things going on in the Roman Catholic Church that shouldn't be happening that way, so he decided to try and make some changes. And a lot of the Roman Catholics said, we don't want your changes, thank you very much. And so they kind of kicked him out. But then a bunch of people in the Roman Catholic Church went, oh no, we think those changes would be good. So they went with Martin Luther. So Luther has a whole set of churches named after him. Does anyone want to tell what Martin Luther's churches might be called?
Lutherans.
Lutherans. So they Those are the guys. I'm going to stop writing it on here because it's going to get really confusing pretty quick. And that was called the Reformation. That's one of your blanks. And then since that time, over the last 500 years between, that was only 500 years ago, about the same time that Columbus was doing his exploring. And since then, all of these branches just keep dividing and dividing and dividing, and some over here even, and dividing 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 and dividing, and just keep dividing. And now there are like thousands, probably, of different new kinds of churches that keep breaking off every time. They're like, oh, I think we should be doing things a little bit differently. And each one of them is probably based on a good idea, because each one is trying to, it's like they're trying to return to what they think is the original way of doing church, or another word for that is orthodox. That just means the original way of doing church. So now there's hundreds of different kinds of churches. Oh, yep, there's one, and there's another, and oh, there's one more, and another one. Oh my. There we go. So now there's hundreds of different kinds of churches, and they are known as different denominations. That's the word for when we're talking about different kinds of churches. Does anyone know, can I list a few different types of denominations that you know of?
Mormon.
That's a good one. That's important. I got to come back to that in a second. Any more?
Catholic.
Catholic. Yeah. Yeah. Reformed, Lutheran. There's, can anyone think of different churches in town? What kind?
Mennonite
churches. Yep. Different ones in town. Like, there's the E-Free Church, there's Baptist Church, Pentecostal Church, Presbyterian, Victory, Anglican, any of those. So any of those are all different branches of the same tree. So the whole tree is Christian, but they're all hanging out on a branch or two somewhere along the way. So we're all Christian, but we're all doing it very differently, right? The important thing, though, is that we all believe, guess what? Guess what's all the same about us?
We believe in God.
Very, yeah, but there's some things we believe differently. But do you know the one thing that we all believe the same?
God and Jesus.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Any
Jesus
more specific?
Is the Son of God.
Yeah, that's part of it. There's a whole list of, shall I say, rules, like I talked about, that the bishops came up with thousands of years ago. Leah, I guess, Ben?
The Creed?
Yes, the Creed. So the Apostles' Creed that you guys are learning is something that all of these different denominations can agree with. Now, we might look differently when we come together and try a new church, but we're all trying to do the best we can with what we believe is the Apostles' Creed. So we can all believe in the Apostles' Creed. Now, Easton brought up a really good point. There's some places that will call themselves churches, or even Christian churches, like Mormons, or Jehovah's Witnesses, or is there any other? Think of?
Well, that's a different religion.
Those would be the two most common ones.
Yeah, so Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses will try and claim that they're Christians, but guess what, they don't believe completely. The Apostles' Creed. Yeah, so Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God.
And also they don't celebrate Christmas, Easter,
yeah.
Christmas,
yeah.
The Mormons believe that, Joseph Smith?
Yeah. So, they're trying to say that they're part of this tree, but none of the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe the Apostles' Creed, that everyone else in the Christian tree believes it. So they're not really even Christian, right? So they'll try and say that they are, but they actually don't belong to the Christian tree because they don't believe the Christian creed.
And the branches that fall off.
Ooh, good one. That's really good. So here's, yeah, we're looking down. There are branches there laying on the ground. Nice. All right. I think I'm falling behind here. Oh, yeah, look at that. So here's a whole bunch of Methodists, we didn't mention those. Full Gospel, we didn't mention those. Vineyard, United, Separatist, Reformed. Star Wars Church is not a part of it. Look at all these different kinds of of Christian churches. Yeah.
That's the name of the church.
I don't know why they chose that.
They get along with the United Church.
Right? Yeah. So here's something. All of these different churches, we can actually group into three. I think this might be the next slide. We can.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the history timeline. Is anyone missing anything? I think you all have it.
No.
Everybody got all those?
No. No.
Oh, okay. I'll wait there. Oh, yeah, sorry. I forgot to mention those.
Does it
do we have to write down all those words on there?
You could write, at 1,000, you could just write split if you want. It might be good to write split between Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox.
Hey, what's the 500? It doesn't make sense. It says 1000 AD on the split of Roman Catholic. Oh. Ooh. 2000 AD today.
And then if you can't read it, this one is Martin Luther and the Reformation.
What do we write on 1,000? You write, like, split the Roman Catholic of the Eastern Orthodox Church. So what do we just write? Split? Yuck!
Move on, and then if you missed that last one, we'll catch it up at the break. Sounds good? So all these different churches that we were talking about, all these different branches and everything, they can kind of be grouped into three different categories based on what they value. So the first group is the charismatics, and those denominations love experiencing the Holy Spirit. So those ones are very focused on things like worship, which is a really good thing to be focused on. And then the next group is the evangelical denominations.
Are
and
we
they,
in that one?
What?
Are we in that one?
Ooh, good question. Yes. We'll get there in a second. The evangelical denominations love God's word and evangelism. Does anyone know what evangelism is? It's basically, evangelism and mission are very close to the same thing. So they love, evangelism is like telling other people about God. So they'll tell people on the streets about God, they'll do missions trips to tell people about God. So the evangelical churches love God's word and mission, evangelism. And then the historic denominations, they love the creeds, especially, and the history and the traditions that God has passed down to us. Yes. So, I'll tell you, there's a few different charismatic denominations, like Victory Church or Pentecostal Church. There's a lot of different evangelical denominations, like Baptist or Presbyterian. Were you free? Who's in that? Somebody? Yeah, their name is, the E in E Free is short for, is it short for
evangelical? Yeah, it is.
I was second guessing. And then there's like historic churches, like the Roman Catholic Church, or the Eastern Orthodox Church, or even the Lutherans, or the Anglicans. And they love traditions and things like wearing collars, sacraments like communion and baptism. So here's a question, good question that Easton raised. What is our church?
Historic?
So yeah, Via Apostolica, what is our church?
Historic.
Where would we fit? Yeah, we've got some historic things, like we do communion every Sunday, we love baptism, that's why you guys are here, because we're doing catechism, so you guys can be baptized. And all of our ordained pastors will often wear collars. That's something historic. Sometimes Todd wears robes, or other deacons will wear robes. Things like that. So, but are we just historic?
Evangelistic.
Yeah, because we also are evangelical.
I think we're all of them.
Ooh, interesting. That's an interesting one. Yeah, because we're also definitely evangelical, because every Sunday we're preaching God's word. And we're teaching. Yeah, we do missions trips, and we're trying to tell people in Lethbridge about Jesus. And yeah, so we're definitely those things too. So we're at least these three things. But do we also love the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
And do we love worship?
Yes.
And God's presence?
Yes.
So we're also charismatic.
Interesting. All three.
So each of those categories of denominations carries a different piece of God's heart for the church, and they do it really well. And we can learn a lot from different types of churches. So just because we're not a part of the Roman Catholic Church or the Anglican Church doesn't mean we can't learn something from them. And just because we're not Lutherans or Baptists or any of those doesn't mean that we can't learn something from them. And just because we're not Victory Church or Pentecostal Church doesn't mean that we can't learn something from them. Or E-Free. So, at our church, and all of the churches that we're planting in Calgary and Regina and Comox, who knows us where, all of our churches were called Via Apostolica, and our desire is to try and embrace and take in all of the strengths of these churches in the tree of Christian churches. So we want to do all of the best parts that the historic churches do. We want to do all the best parts that the charismatic churches do. We want all of the parts that the evangelical churches do. And so we're kind of moving, reading on all the best parts. We don't want to miss anything out, right? Because who would want to miss out on something? So we want all the best parts that there are in each of those things. So we want all of these things. And especially, we want unity. Because we don't want to just say, well, we're the best at worship, so we're going to do our thing over here, and you guys can do whatever else you want. But we're going to be over here without you guys. We want to be united with all of the churches, and that doesn't mean we have to just all go to the same building on a Sunday, but that means that we can love other churches, and that we can encourage other Christians, and that we can pray for them, and we can bless them, and that we don't have to pretend that we're better than everyone else or anything. But we can want to be together with other Christians in the city of Lethbridge and across the world. The sad part about having so many different denominations, like all these different tree branches, is that it will often cause disunity. That is just the opposite of being united. And it causes disunity among God's people. And it's really sad if the church becomes not united. Because you remember what happened when Israel, the caterpillar, was not united?
God.
It fell apart. And so we don't want the church to fall apart. So this disunity tends to happen when we focus on our differences rather than on the many, many things that will bond us together. So if people are trying to be like, we're out on this branch and you should all be on this branch and everything, well, what if... Well, actually, we'll get there in a second. All right, fill in those blanks, and then maybe we'll take a 5-10 minute break.
5 minutes.
You guys need to run to the washroom or get a drink. And then we come back, I'll hand out Timbits.
Yay!
Chocolate. Showtime.
Yeah.
I promise you, no matter what I do, I'm either going to take 2 minutes or less. Right. I need to, or else I break my promise and I will never show my face.
You got 2 minutes, counting.
Yeah. Okay. No, don't worry,
remember,
I have a watch.
Remember, if you're going to the bathroom, just go quietly by the room where the adults are meeting. Okay?
I think I need to try to do this. Pause. Okay. Do you wish to press pause?